All right, Sunday morning, 1/29/23. I'm glad to see January go. Always glad to see January go for some reason. Anyway, this is the Prophet's Corner Uncut, and the title of it is Great Grace is Upon Us. All right, the Lord begins to say, my grace gives you the ability to do what you cannot do in yourself. Learning to draw on the grace will propel you into supernatural situations. I cannot use those that draw upon the flesh. The flesh is of no merit in my kingdom. In other words, you know, if you gain the whole world and don't, you know, what good do you do if you choose the wrong way, even if you gain the whole world? In the garden, the man knew nothing of the flesh, only the spirit. He was not even conscious, or it did not even have a consciousness of his flesh. He was naked and didn't even know it. Satan's temptation was targeting his flesh. This is always where Satan targets. Even though it's a mental battle, he targets your flesh. You know, the lust of the flesh. Walking in the spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is what the messenger of Satan has come to do. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. They are contrary one to another. It is sent to sabotage my plan. God has a plan for man, and it's a spirit walk, but Satan targets that, trying to get the man in the flesh. All right, let's look at Galatians 6 a minute, verse 16 and 17, which says really what I just said. Sorry, what did I say? Okay, Galatians 5. 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So we're not going to get into that. Okay, all those that walk by the Spirit encountered this opposition. The same war that was waged in the garden is being waged today. Very same. I came. I brought the grace to help the escape from the flesh. Because see, men in the old covenant walked in the flesh. Outward temple. Outward, you know, things that they did. All outward. Nothing inward. All right, Acts 4:33. I was teaching this morning on the television broadcast, and I remember I got a Jew very upset over what I said. Were you going to take this away from us too? And I didn't ever respond to him, but I should have said, no, God did that. We are now Jews, spiritual Jews. We're not in temples made with hands. You can build 1,000 temples over there, and God ain't coming back. He ripped the veil in two. Jesus presented his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. There ain't no fleshly nothing. It's all a bowl of crock or whatever. I'm not going to say the word. It's all bull, whatever. Every bit of it. And as soon as the Jew gets a hold of this, that's going to free them up too. No, we didn't take anything from them. God did. He said he would no longer dwell in a temple made with hands. He's not going back in your little box with the law. All right, Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The deeper your walk in the Spirit, the fiercer the opposition becomes, but my grace empowers you to overcome. I will not have you be sorrowful and so distraught over this, for my grace is enough to see you through it. You're walking where you have never walked before. Few, in fact, have walked this far. So many of my children never move out of the flesh realm. Pretty well all our earthly existence, or all our, church existence, was all in the flesh until probably we'll come back in the house. I mean, maybe some intermittent moments we actually got in the flesh, and the spirit was moving in the spirit, but for the most part, everything was just an outward, kind of like the tabernacle. Just a bunch of, we go to church, we do our three songs, do the bulletin. Okay. So many of my children never move out of the flesh realm. They don't know any different. They're no better than Adam in the garden before, or Eve, when she was tempted of Satan. And her flesh overrode the spirit. He tricked her. All right, 1 Peter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happen unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be approached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yes, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Did y'all hear that? According to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Because you choose to walk in the spirit, you will suffer. Because the flesh is warring against the spirit. Grow in this grace. Your focus has been on the pain and suffering, but it should be on the grace and the glory. Paul was just as dismayed as you when he asked me what to do. All right, let's look at Acts chapter 9. Verse 1 there. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of them letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any one of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and there he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know why you chose Paul? Man, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. It's kind of like Moses being Pharaoh's son. God used what the world put in him to the advantage of the gospel. Because Paul could understand and he knew. The other apostles didn't have that kind of wisdom and knowledge that Paul did. And that determination, probably. Peter was wishy-washy. Nothing against Peter. He finally got it right. But Paul was like a stalwart. All right, 2 Corinthians 12. All right, Paul's asking the Lord about this suffering, you know. Verse 1 says, It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations in the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. What's Paul really saying here? I think he's saying, at least when I know I'm being persecuted, I know I'm on the right track. I'm getting the flag. That's why he could glory in them. Part of it anyway, I believe. All right. Well, let me read the rest of this. Really, it's just the next three verses. I am become a fool in glory, and ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. True, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. So Paul, he was wrecking up the devil's playground. That's what the problem was, okay? All right, I'm going to read this to you. It's in my Bible commentary. I read it to Danny yesterday. It says here, let me see, this is verse 7. Hold on here. Paul's thorn in the flesh is characterized further as a messenger of Satan. Just what Paul means by this is not clear. Among the views suggested are temptations from the devil, Paul's opposition from his adversaries, some intense bodily pain, a recurring physical affliction such as eye trouble, or even some form of mental or psychological distress, whatever the case, it was a tool of Satan. It was painful, and put thorn in parentheses. And it was accompanied by shame or embarrassment to the apostle. A fairly strong argument can be sustained in favor of the view that it was eye trouble. Ophthalmia, whatever you call that, which I don't know about that. We've heard that all our religious Christian life. But whether it was or not, I'm sure he had some physical things. I wouldn't refute that at all, that the devil harassed him with over the revelations that he had. Okay? All right. The reason many never move out of the sense room in their walk is because they believe that Paul, as an apostle, was special and all this suffering and trials were only for him. Oh, well, you know, that was the Apostle Paul. We put him right up there with Jesus. Well, we're right up there with Jesus, you know. We're not over Jesus, but we are seated in the throne with him. And we're subject to the same things Paul was subject to when we're obeying God and doing what he's told us to do. All that live godly in Christ Jesus, it says, shall suffer persecution. And there's different forms of that. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11. Well, just Paul, you know, just Paul. Nobody else could ever attain to what Paul attained to. Well, I beg to differ. This is 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Be ye followers of me, this is Paul speaking here, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. So here is Paul bringing, laying down doctrine in the church, and he's saying, follow me as I follow Christ. All right. Jesus said for us to follow him. All right, how are we going to do that? Well, we're following Jesus. That's following Paul. That's following Paul told the churches, follow me as an example. We've got to have examples in the church. All right, Mark 8. We've got to have somebody to follow. That's where the apostles and prophets come in. Mark 8:34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Remember the parable of the man that had the barns and built bigger barns, and he stockpiled them and said, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. But then it says, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. Then that stuff you stockpiled for yourself, who's going to get that? For what shall it profit a man if he gain the world, whole world, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. He's not quite as forgiving as a lot of people are today. They make up stuff to accommodate their flesh and whatever they want to say or do. Well, God wouldn't do that. It's not going to be the way you say. It's going to be the way God has said. Jesus was pretty adamant about it, about walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. A lot of people never give any time to it. Never. They have never moved out of the flesh realm. They're born again, sure enough. I remember, who was it? I think it was Jesse Duplantis when he went to heaven or something like that. That he said that people that hadn't learned it on earth couldn't go to the throne. They'd have to eat. They'd be out among the trees for the healing of the nations, be out among the trees eating from them trees, trying to get enough strength to be able to make it to the throne. You know, you could see the throne. You could see the mountain of God, you know, and all that. They couldn't. They didn't have the strength because they didn't take their time to avail themselves. Looks like they made it by the skin of their teeth, but they didn't take the time to learn about God and His ways. How are you going to walk in the Spirit and walk in a kingly realm if you've never availed yourself to that? You're going to be like a fish out of water. You're going to have to learn. You won't be able to access what some will access because you have not taken the time to learn. But you will learn. You will have to. All of us will, wherever. But I mean, I really think this is really those who just absolutely just never pursued it. Thought you just got born again and that's all that there was to it. No, there's a whole lot more to it than just that. All right. All right, Galatians 5:17. Well, I'll do 16. This I say, all right, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So we see this battle. A lot of the pain is that. It's just this struggle. That we're still in this world, but we are not of this world. Why must Christians suffer? You have two realms fighting against each other. We're going to look at a few scriptures here. The first one's in Matthew chapter 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So it is, it's like a battle to walk in the Spirit. All right. We're going to look at some scriptures about this, several. 1 Peter 3. You can either turn there or I'll turn and read them, whatever. 1 Peter chapter 3, 14. Says, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accused your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Yeah. So we can understand here. We're doing better to suffer because we're doing what's right than suffering for what not doing right. All right. 4:1-2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now you understand. The Lord put it to us. Danny had a word yesterday about it purifies you. It works things out of you. Okay. All right, 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Boy, that says it all. Right there, that momentary suffering you go through when God is training you and getting you ready for service, it'll settle you to where you're not wishy-washy. You don't bail out whenever like John Mark, when the fire gets hot. Let me read that again. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Takes the squirrely out of you. That wishy-washy, well, yes, it's God. No, it's not. Well, yes, it is. No, it's not. You understand? Until you know, yes, I know. I know who I am, believing and persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. That's where you come from. From all over the place to stalwart, strong, you're settled, you're not moved. Doesn't mean you'll ever like it. Just think about that. You might want to write that one down. This is 1 Peter 5:10. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I deal with people like that, and I'm, you know, one time I'm around, oh, yes, bless God, it's this way. Next time I see him, oh, no, I'm this and that and so, and it's just completely the opposite. And you're going, what? Say what? I'm glad you let me know. I said, what a horrible way to live. And we've all lived that way. Yeah, flighty. That's a good word, flighty. Whenever a puff of wind comes along, maybe it wasn't God. We have an adversary, people. And when we step into the Spirit and we start walking by the Spirit, we enter the combat zone. The flesh. Why did I start this out with the Spirit and the flesh conflicting? It'll always be that way. All right. Did I say 2 Corinthians 4:16? For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, the devil would have us focus in on what is temporal and focus in on that and just have a miserable life. Or we look past that and we look at what God has said to us, the goal that's before us. That's what Paul said. I focus on the goal that is before me. You know, Christ Jesus is carrying me upward. That's what my goal is. That's what I'm focusing on. I'm not focusing on all the stuff I'm going through here. What does it do? What good does it do? It just keeps you upset. It keeps you not even being able to motivate in this life. Philippians 1, 29 and 30. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflicts which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Paul wasn't saying, well, I'm an apostle and I'm the only one who has to go through this because of all the revelations that I have. No, he's saying you need to have the same mindset, that if you're going to choose to walk in the Spirit, you're going to suffer because you're not giving into the flesh. This body wants to do what it wants to do. So we have to deny it. That's what he's talking about here. To arm yourself with that type, and so you won't be so, what in the world is going on all the time? What did I do wrong now? That type of attitude. There's a lot about this all through here. I could have put hundreds of scriptures in here, I think, about suffering. And about, this is the true walk of God that you don't hear much about. Because, you know why? Because they wouldn't come to church and they wouldn't get their tithe. Say, I don't care about that. I can say it. All right. James 1. My brethren, James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven and up with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What's a double-minded man? Flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit. Oh, yes, it's God. Oh, today, I'm not sure. What changed? Circumstances. Yeah. All right, Acts chapter 5. Verse 39. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happy ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. There's a prime example. They just kept on doing what God told them to do. They threatened them. You're going to be back in here if you teach in that name. Now, they just ignored it. You know, there's a lot of people incarcerated today that shouldn't be there. And there's a lot that aren't incarcerated that need to be. All right. Keep going here. That was 5. Okay, Romans 8. 12. Therefore, brethren, we are doubters or debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. Wait a minute. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. This is what our system. I know Jackie knows what I'm talking about. It's just that the earth is changing, our atmosphere is changing, everything's changing. What's happening? The manifestation of the sons of God are happening. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. See, we are lights in a dark place, and it grieves us, like it talks about Lot. His righteous soul was vexed every day. I'm thinking, why'd you go and camp down there with him? But it said he was vexed. That's where we live. We're vexed. This evil. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan. See, we have just a first fruit. We have just a little inkling, just a little. There's a scripture that talks about like when you give earnest money, a little earnest. You've got a little bit imparted into the Holy Spirit. Just a tad of the glory we're going to really walk in and be flowing. Just to tide us over till finally everything's restored. The first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. And then it goes on to talk about the Spirit helps us. See, that's He helps us. He's the comforter. Jesus sent Him to comfort us until the end, when He come back and His kingdom's going to be established. The Holy Spirit's there to be our helper. He prays. Well, let me just read it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Right over here, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So we've got the teacher in the side of us, the helper, that helps us to get through. And it's an inside walk of the Spirit that gets us through. I don't know how people that don't have that make it. I don't know how they do it. I guess they just adapt to this world and just roll with the punches, I guess. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Nine. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as if it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and as are the offscourging of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. That was their way of life. What they went through, what they suffered. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Someone was talking about yesterday about there are certain, I think they were talking about off-world crap. But talking about there are certain cultures that are so peaceful, it doesn't matter what anyone does to them, they will not revile back. They're so peace-loving, they will not revile back. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Boy, we know a little bit about that the last couple of years. Now you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators nor idolaters. These homosexuals that think they're going to make it in because they want to accommodate their flesh, they can think again, that's what a fornicator is. But it's not just homosexuality, it's any kind of sexual sin that God has not ordained. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Suffering wrong. When people don't do you right. When people don't do what they say. When people mess up your stuff and skip town and you're stuck holding the bag and you got to hire somebody else and have more money out of pocket to fix their mess. Those are the kind of things that you suffer from. What do? You say, Lord, forgive them. Lay not this sin to their charge. My prayer has been, Lord, make me the one that never has to say I'm sorry. In other words, to do the right thing. Somebody flips me the bird or whatever, I certainly wouldn't do it back, but you know what I'm saying. Somebody does something ugly to you. Bless them, Lord. When the enemy brings those kind of thoughts, and he does, that's the time to say, Lord, bless them. All right. I mean, we've all got our list of things that people hadn't done right. But that's part of the suffering as a Christian. We don't act like the world acts. Jesus died for our sins. He died for the sins of everyone, even the ones that killed him. Yeah. When you put it in that perspective, it kind of changes it. You can see the difference between the flesh and the spirit here and how you handle things. Walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says here, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are ye not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas have not no we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sake? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth shall plow in hope, that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Here they go, give their money up to the corrupt IRS, the thieves. But to the apostle in the church, they had to go work. Because they couldn't, no one would contribute to the needs that they had. He's just asking, you know, we give concessions to the world to steal us blind. But people that are doing the work of the Lord, they're stingy. I remember one time someone saying to me, a woman, and I knew she was talking about my ministry. She said, well, there's this ministry I really want to give to, but my husband just absolutely refuses. Which doesn't surprise me at all, knowing who he is. See how people act towards the things of the Spirit and the people of God? But he writes out his IRS check every... Why? Because they're going to throw him in jail if he doesn't. Think about that. Think of those kind of attitudes towards the people of God and towards the world. They've raped us completely and totally in every area of our life from the moment we were born. And people esteem them. But the people of God? Well, you know, all them preachers want is your money. Well, you know who started that lie? The devil. And I'm not asking for money today. Don't get that. That's not even the point. It's just you suffer as a Christian. When you see the way the world is and the way the world acts, and why is the Christians always the one that are targeted? The truth is coming out now about, you know, Hitler and the Jews. The Jews just orchestrated all of it. It was really Christians that they killed in those concentration camps. All that's going to come out. It always comes down to the real elites. Those are the body of Christ. They're targeted by the world in every way. All right, let's keep going. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And rather we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or rather we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also of the consolation. Yeah. For we would not, brethren, had you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Yeah. Moving right along, 1 Thessalonians 3. All right. Verse 1 here, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Don't like that. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation even as it came to pass, and you know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. He thought they were going to wig out and forget everything they'd learned, but they didn't. They held fast. All right. 2 Thessalonians 1. Now, when you got a question about what's going on, I hope you wrote all these scriptures down or you're listening to it on the flash drive. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith growing exceedingly in the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Seems to be subject to those in the church, right? Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. See, God's going to pay back what they've done. You let it go. You say, forgive them. And he says, I'll get them. You leave that to me. Vengeance belongs to me. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. We shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. It isn't that we're just asked to suffer. He's saying there's a payback for you letting it go. All right. A recompense is coming. 1 Timothy 4, 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. 2 Timothy 1, 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. 2:12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Does it sound like it's all part of it? 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Yeah. All right, Hebrews 13, 3. We're nearly done with this teaching, or this prophet's corner, 13, 3. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Reminds me of over in Corinthians, where it talks about when one member suffers, all the members suffer with him. All right, 1 Peter 2. 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when we be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By stripes ye were healed. For ye are a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. All right, 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And then verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. All right, I have one statement here and we'll be done with this. I believe that suffering, going against the flesh, is all part of the Christian walk. It's that we are not used to it, and most of the church world really knows nothing about it at all. Jesus did it, Paul did it, and all that followed them did also. Thank God for his gift of grace to help us get through it.